Good morning. We are thankful that we are able to still meet around the Word of God, even though it's not in our usual circumstances. And we trust that even in this forum that the Lord will make His Word a blessing to all of us. I want you to take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 8, a well-known passage of Scripture. Romans chapter 8, and we'll commence to read at the verse 28. Romans chapter 8. And the verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless this reading from His Word to us. Let's just bow for a word of prayer and ask God's blessing upon His Word to us. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee once again that we can come into Thy presence and we can come around the precious Word of God. We thank You, Lord, that even though we're not able to meet together as Your people in these days to sit under the preaching of Your Word, we thank You, Lord, that Your Word is not bound and we still have access to it, and we can even consider it together, even in this forum. And we ask You, Lord, to bless us now as we come to consider this great text of Scripture. We thank You, Lord, that even in these present circumstances in which we find ourselves, that we can draw great comfort and encouragement from the Word of God. We thank You, Lord, that we as Thy people are not alone to face this situation, but we thank You, Lord, that we're in the great purpose of God, and we know that You're working all things together for our good and for Thy glory. And so I pray for help now as we look into the Word of God together and make it a blessing to all who will listen to it. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text is verse 28, this wonderful text of Scripture where it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. This verse is one of the most outstanding statements in all of Scripture. It's one of the most comforting truths in all of the Bible. Believers have turned to this verse in all kinds of trials and difficulties and found great comfort and strength to see them through. This is one of the most glorious things that we can realize about ourselves as the people of God. Do we know that as believers, God is causing all things to work together for good for us? Do we realize that God is overruling everything in the entire universe and in our personal lives for our good. Yes, even this present crisis that we are facing, it's an evil in itself, but God is causing it to work together for our good. Three things that I want you to consider with me as we look at this great text of scripture here. First of all, think with me on why all things work together for our good. You know, no doubt thousands of sermons have been preached on this verse, but the majority of them have concentrated on the first half of the verse. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. We are told, and rightly so, that no matter what happens to us, it's all working together for our good. That's wonderful, but to stop at that is to miss the real glory of what we have in this verse. Why do all things work together for good to those of us who love the Lord? The answer is in the last part of the verse there, where it says, according to his purpose. We need to understand that absolutely everything that happens to us, behind it all, whether it's good or bad, God is working out his eternal purpose. You know, one of our greatest plagues is the four-lettered word self. We're so self-focused, aren't we? Even with this present crisis, so often our first thought is about ourselves. How this is affecting me. How I am being impacted by this. You know, the reality is that even in this situation is affecting many others in a much more severe way than it's affecting me. And yet, so often, our number one concern is about ourselves and how I'm being impacted by it. The scriptures call us to get our eyes off ourselves and to get them onto God and his eternal purpose. And I trust that with God's help, that that's where all of our eyes will be fixed upon, even in these days and as we face this situation together. The Apostle Paul refers in Ephesians 3 and verse 11 to the eternal purpose which God purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9 to God's own purpose and grace which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. The Apostle Peter talks about Christ being foreordained to die before the foundation of the world. Now, God has an eternal purpose that he is working out in this world and in our lives. We don't believe for a moment that sin or the devil have God's hands tied behind his back as if they were on the throne. No, God is on the throne. God is sovereign. We need to remind ourselves of that great truth in these days. Yes, God allowed sin to come into the world. He allows sin to work certain of its consequences in the world today and in our personal lives. He allows sicknesses such as this virus to come and to bring all of these consequences. But God has an eternal purpose behind all of these things. And that eternal purpose ensures that no matter what happens, ultimately God will be glorified. How wonderful to know that sin and the devil will not win the day. God will. God's eternal purpose is absolutely certain and secure. Absolutely nothing will ever cause that purpose to fail. The character of God demands this. If this purpose fails, then God ceases to be God. It's God's purpose. You know, we as humans, at times, we purpose to do things. We make our plans to do something and we start it. But sometimes we don't see that thing through. If something happens and we don't get that thing finished. But you know, God is not like us. God's purposes will never fail. God will always carry out his purposes to completion. This is why Paul could say, in the words of our text, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." The eternal purpose of God to overrule sin and all its consequences ensures that no matter what happens to you as a child of God, God will work it out for your good and ultimately for his glory. So as a true child of God, whenever life is tough for you and circumstances are not favourable, such as they are presently for all of us, don't ever be tempted to think that sin, which has brought all the trouble and all the problems into the world and into our lives, don't ever think for a moment that sin rules and reigns in your life and in your circumstances, that you are at the mercy of sin and its consequences. Absolutely not. Not for a moment are we as the people of God at the mercy of sin and its consequences. God's eternal purpose, of which you are a part, ensures that you are delivered from the reign of sin. You are now in the purpose of God. Before you were saved, you were not in that special purpose of God, but now you are. And God is ensuring that absolutely everything that happens to you, all of the consequences of sin that we all have to face in this fallen world, God is ensuring that all of those troubles and trials in your life are working together for your good and for God's glory. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You see, it's all according to his purpose. It is because of God's eternal purpose that Paul says in Philippians 1 and verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That work that God began in your heart and life the day he saved you, he's going to carry on that work to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful to know? It's because of God's eternal purpose that Paul could say, "I am persuaded that neither death nor life shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Lay hold upon that truth, child of God. It is because of God's eternal purpose that Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." He made append those words, "things future, nor things that are now, not all things below or above, can make him his purpose forego, or sever my soul from his love." So this is why all things work together for our good. It's because we are called according to his purpose. Hold on to that in the difficulties of life. Hold on to that in the difficulties that you're facing in these days. So as our first point, why all things work together for our good, it's because of God's eternal purpose. But secondly, I want you to consider with me not only why all things work together for our good, but what things are working together for our good. Notice that Paul says here, "all things." And when he says all things, He means exactly that, all things. Some commentators have said that all things means the trials and tribulations of life only. Even the great John Calvin said that. They have linked it back to the troubles and trials that Paul talked about from verses 17 to 27. They've said that no matter what sufferings or difficulties come to us, God will work it out for our good. This is true, but we mustn't limit the all things to sufferings and trials only. He means literally all things. He means good things, positive things, things that are good for us, blessings, as well as bad things, negative things, things that seem to be bad for us, things that are discouraging and that seem to be against us. The troubles, sicknesses, accidents, and even our failures, God takes them all and makes them work ultimately for our good. The things that happen to us in life, the things that we can't understand, the things that we just don't have a human explanation for, God takes all and makes them work for our good. It's important that we understand that trials, troubles, and even failure and sin are not good in themselves. They're bad. This present virus is not good in itself. It is bad. Let us never forget that God is not the author of evil. Troubles, trials, failure and sin are all part of the fall of man. They're all a result of the fall of man. Absolutely everything bad that happens to us happens because of the entrance of sin into the world. They are not part of God's original creation. Do you remember how God looked at his finished creation after he had made it all, and he said, "Behold, it is very good." When God looked at his finished creation on the seventh day, he didn't see any sickness. He didn't see any death. He didn't see any tragedies. He didn't see any disappointments, failure. No, all was good whenever God looked at and surveyed his finished creation. It was with the entrance of sin into the world came all the troubles and trials and difficulties that we face from day to day. This present crisis is a result of sin. It's one of the consequences of sin in our world. All the troubles and trials and difficulties that we face are the result of man's rebellion against his Creator. Not because the good, perfect and holy God of heaven is the author of them. So how can we say that all things, even the bad things, work together for good? The answer is that God takes these bad things, these consequences of sin in our world, and he so overrules them and turns them out for our good. You know, think about this. If these evil things, the trials and tribulations, were good in and of themselves, then they would do as much good to the unbeliever as to the believer. Every time the unsaved experienced something bad, it would turn out for their good. But the apostle reminds us here that these things only work together for good to them that love God. That is because God is only working in the lives of his people, taking the bad in life and turning it into their good. It is what God does with these bad things that causes them to be turned around for our good. To God be the glory for all that he's doing in our lives as his people. What a privilege that we are among the company of those who love God. And so therefore God is taking all the things that are happening to us in life and working them together for our good. You know, if you're listening to this and you're not saved, you don't love God with all your heart and soul, all the things that are happening to you in your life, and even this present crisis that we're facing, these things are not working together for your good. In fact, they're all working together to ultimately damn you. I believe that God is speaking through this present crisis to our world and speaking very, very loudly. And for you as an individual, this present crisis is a call from God to you to face up to your sin and rebellion against Him, your sin that has provoked His wrath, your sin that has caused all these evil things to happen in God's perfect world. God is calling you to admit your sin, to trust alone in Christ and the great provision that He has made for you in His death and in His precious shed blood. And I would exhort you today to be wise in the light of what is happening around us. Be wise and turn to Christ today. Forsake your sin, trust alone in Him. Because if you fail to do so and continue to harden your heart against Him and fail to heed His warning voice speaking to you through all of these consequences of sin in the world, and you will find yourself one day lost forever, eternally separated from God. These things will not work out ultimately for your good, but for your eternal damnation. So look at why all things work together for our good, and what things work together for our good. But consider with me thirdly, how all things are working together for our good. How do the trials and tribulations of life, sickness, weakness, and even death itself work together for our good as the people of God? Well, three things. First of all, these things arrest and awaken us. You know, there's nothing worse for us in life as when everything seems to be going well, when all is plain sailing, when all is roses in the garden. We're inclined to get careless and indifferent. This applies in every area of life, whether it's business life or family relationships. It takes problems and difficulties to sharpen us up and to make us vigilant. It's just the same in the Christian life. How careless we can become when we have no trials and difficulties. We so easily cast off diligence and watchfulness. Trials and difficulties have a tendency to make us think. Whenever we're laid upon our back, we're unable to do many of the things that we are so used to doing in life. It makes us think. Are the things that we live for and put number one in life, are they really that important? We're reminded that we're only strangers and pilgrims passing through this world. We're only here on a very short journey. How loose a grip we ought to have upon the things of this world. When faced with death in the family, it gets us to think seriously on eternal things, the things that really matter. It awakens us to the brevity of life and the absolute need to live for eternal things, to lay up treasure in heaven. But secondly, the troubles and trials of life also work together for our good because they humble us. Whenever things go wrong in life, we have the tendency to grumble and complain. We sometimes question as to why God allowed this to happen to me. This causes us to realize our own sinfulness. How quick we are to have unworthy thoughts of God, the holy, perfect God of heaven, who has loved us with an everlasting love. And this humbles us as we realize this truth about ourselves. There's no more dangerous place to be in than to be filled with spiritual pride, thinking that we have it all together and that we are such wonderful people. Even in the work of God, whenever everything is seemingly going well, we can be filled with spiritual pride and self-confidence. But when things are not going well, when trouble comes in, when there's a lack of results, disunity, how we are cast upon God. Our confidence is renewed in Him as we realize that it's His work and not ours. We're just co-laborers together with Him. And thirdly, the difficulties and trials of life work together for our good because they drive us to God. Whenever troubles and difficulties come and we feel helpless, that these things are beyond our control, it's then that we're driven back to and cast upon God. And that's always good for us. We're driven back to an absolute and entire dependence upon God. And that is where we get to know God as we've never known Him before. Perhaps you've known Him to a measure, but now we have a new depth, an understanding of God Himself. Sometimes it's absolutely necessary that we go through some suffering in order for us to know these deeper depths that are to be known in God. His love, His kindness, His grace, compassion, His patience, His long-suffering. Paul says we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. It's like the cogs in an intricate piece of machinery, some turning this way, some turning that way, seemingly working against each other, but in reality they're all working together so that that machine runs perfectly and does its work. That's what our lives are like in the hands of God, the one who has called us according to His purpose. At times we cannot understand what is happening. Seems at times, like Jacob, that all these things are against us. But behind it all, God is working out His sovereign plan and purpose. And all these things are working together for our good. Charles Hodge, a commentator, said these words: "Those who are in Christ, who love God, may repose in perfect security beneath the shadow of His wings. All things are under the control of Him who has called them to the possession of eternal life according to His own purposes." May God help all of us as His people to be there in these days, that place of perfect security, rest and peace in God, knowing that no matter what happens, no matter what this present situation is going to mean for us, even in the long term, just being able to rest in the fact that God has called us, we're in His purpose, He's taking absolutely everything, all of these unfavorable circumstances, and He's working them together for our good, to continue to work in us, to make us into the people that He wants us to be. May God bless His word to us today. Let's just bow again for a brief word of prayer. Lord, we thank You again for the wonderful truth that we are in the eternal purpose of God, that these trials and troubles and difficulties of life, that they are working together for our good, that God is taking them all and He's working through them to ultimately bring glory to Himself. Lord, help us all in these difficult days in which we find ourselves. Help us to get our eyes upon God, upon what He's doing through this situation, what He's doing in our own lives, what He's doing in the world, and to rest in absolute peace and security, knowing that ultimately all is well and that God is still on the throne. So encourage our hearts in these days through thy word, and bless us, Lord, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.